Good morning. This is Artificially Intelligent News for Saturday, August 15, 2026. I'm Mark Ellison. This program is AI created and fact-checked against current reporting and official information available as this briefing was prepared. A major criminal case took a decisive turn in Manhattan on Friday. Luigi Mangione pleaded guilty in federal court to stalking charges connected to the December 2024 killing of UnitedHealthcare chief executive Brian Thompson. Mangione, who is 28, told the court that he made a gun with help from a 3D printer, traveled to New York, posed as an investor to obtain details about the company conference, and shot Thompson. Prosecutors said they will seek a life sentence when he is sentenced on December 18th. The plea concerns the federal stalking case. A federal murder charge had already been dismissed, removing the possibility of a federal death sentence. Mangione still faces a separate New York State murder prosecution. His lawyers moved Friday to have that case dismissed on double jeopardy grounds. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office says it will contest that effort. A guilty plea is an admission in the federal case. The state proceeding remains unresolved. The separate cases matter because they involve different prosecutors and different charges arising from the same killing. Friday's plea narrows the federal case and sets up sentencing there, but it does not decide the New York charges or the defense argument now before the state court. Another closely watched legal fight concerns the design of social media platforms. A California jury found Meta and Google-owned YouTube liable to a 20-year-old woman who said she became addicted to social media as a child and that it worsened her mental health struggles. The jury found that the companies were negligent in the design or operation of their platforms and that the negligence was a substantial factor in her harm. It awarded $3 million in compensatory damages and recommended another $3 million in punitive damages. The judge has the final say on damages. This was a single civil case, not a nationwide ruling or a finding that every user is harmed by social media. But it is among the first verdicts in litigation over whether platform features such as infinite feeds, autoplay, and notifications were designed in ways that can hook younger users. Meta and YouTube disagree with the verdict and say they are considering legal options, including appeals. Thousands of related claims remain in the courts. The verdict does not create a new nationwide rule for the technology industry. Still, it gives the broader litigation a jury finding on claims that had largely been argued through pretrial motions and raises the stakes for future cases involving young users. Public health policy is also drawing intense debate. President Trump's executive order calls for separating combination childhood vaccines when possible and spacing immunizations into separate appointments. It directs federal officials to develop plans related to single disease versions of the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. The order does not itself create a new vaccine or require a child to follow a new schedule. States retain authority over school immunization requirements, and federal officials cannot compel drug makers to manufacture products. Currently, there are no individual U.S.-approved vaccines for measles, mumps, or rubella. The standard MMR vaccine combines the three. Medical groups and vaccine specialists say decades of research support the safety and effectiveness of the existing combination shots. They warn that separating them could mean more appointments, more cost, and more missed doses. The White House says the policy would give parents more options and could increase vaccination. Drug makers Merck and GSK say they stand by the safety and effectiveness of their combination products. The practical question is whether manufacturers and regulators will pursue a change that experts say could take years. That practical limitation is central to the immediate debate. A federal request for plans is different from having separately approved products available in clinics. Any change would involve manufacturers, regulators, and the routine systems families use to schedule childhood care. In Michigan, the Army Corps of Engineers has issued a federal permit for the controversial Line 5 tunnel beneath the Straits of Mackinac. The Enbridge project would move a section of the petroleum pipeline from open water into a concrete tunnel under the lake bed. The Corps said the project is not contrary to the public interest and would not harm tribal treaty rights. Its own assessment also says construction would adversely affect endangered species and archaeological sites with long-term impacts on habitat and land use. Enbridge says the permit reflects a rigorous environmental review and will improve safety. Tribal opponents and environmental groups strongly disagree, arguing the project threatens the Great Lakes and culturally significant areas. The federal permit clears an important hurdle, but construction is not imminent. Michigan regulators must reconsider a separate permit after a state Supreme Court ruling. Litigation remains active, and opponents have promised more lawsuits. The tunnel proposal is intended to replace the existing segment that runs through the straits. Supporters emphasize moving the line beneath the lake bed. Opponents emphasize the project's construction effects, and the remaining questions over environmental protection, tribal interests, and state approval. At the White House, the administration has asked the Supreme Court to let work resume on President Trump's proposed $400 million ballroom while an appeal continues. A divided federal appeals court panel halted the project last week, saying Congress had not authorized the construction. The proposed 90,000-square-foot ballroom would stand where the East Wing had been before its demolition. The administration argues the lower court should not be allowed to stop the work during the appeal. Chief Justice John Roberts has requested a response from the plaintiffs by Tuesday. The application does not resolve the larger legal dispute over whether a president can undertake such a project without a specific appropriation from Congress. For now, the Supreme Court request concerns whether construction can proceed during litigation. It is not a final ruling on the project's legality. The response ordered by the Chief Justice is the next procedural step before the court decides whether to intervene. The president has also directed the Navy to plan a return to steam catapults on Ford-class aircraft carriers. His memorandum calls for plans within 60 days to replace the electromagnetic aircraft launch system and the advanced weapons elevators with steam and hydraulic systems on the future carrier, CVN-81. The Navy's electromagnetic system was designed to launch aircraft more smoothly and at a higher rate than older steam systems. The administration says frequent design changes have contributed to delays and cost growth in shipbuilding. The directive also calls for a new public shipyard intended to increase submarine repair capacity. The order puts the question in the planning stage. It does not say that current Ford-class ships will immediately be rebuilt. Any recommendation must account for a carrier's existing design, construction status, costs, and the time needed to make substantial changes. The eventual cost and schedule effects are not yet known. The memorandum requires a plan, not an immediate retrofit of every carrier. Defense analysts have noted that redesigning a ship already built around electromagnetic equipment could be costly and complicated. That makes the Pentagon's response over the next 2 months the important next development. And Immigration and Customs Enforcement says it expects to equip every field officer with a body camera by the end of August. The agency has been expanding the program rapidly amid its broader immigration enforcement campaign. ICE says the cameras can document encounters and improve accountability. Civil liberties groups and immigration advocates say the details will matter. When cameras must be activated, who can view recordings, how long footage is retained, and when it can be released. The agency's announcement does not answer every one of those questions, but it would create a far larger visual record of federal immigration operations than ICE has had in the past. The expansion, therefore, has two parts: providing the equipment and setting the rules that govern its use. Cameras can preserve evidence of an encounter, but their accountability value depends on consistent activation, secure handling, and workable public access policies. One important weather item this morning: Tropical Storm Lala is expected to strengthen into a hurricane as it approaches Hawaii's Big Island. A hurricane warning is in effect for the Big Island, with a tropical storm warning for Maui County. Forecasters warn of destructive flooding, damaging winds, and conditions that could worsen wildfire danger. Residents and visitors should use local emergency information rather than this briefing for storm instructions. A hurricane warning means hurricane conditions are expected in the warning area. Forecast conditions and local instructions can change quickly as the storm approaches. People in affected areas should follow Hawaii emergency officials and the National Weather Service for the latest location-specific guidance. Overseas, diplomacy around Gaza is entering another difficult phase. Jared Kushner is expected to travel to Israel and Egypt next week with officials from the U.S.-created Board of Peace, including former British Prime Minister Tony Blair and the board's High Representative Nikolay Mladenov. The stated aim is to advance a framework for ending the Israel-Hamas conflict and establish civilian Palestinian administration in Gaza. The effort faces a central disagreement. Hamas has accepted a plan to decommission weapons, according to the proposal's backers, while Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel will not withdraw from areas it controls until Hamas is fully disarmed. That disagreement is more than a matter of wording. It affects security, Israeli withdrawal, governance, and reconstruction. Israeli strikes and Hamas's refusal to surrender weapons have already strained the ceasefire. The trip may clarify whether negotiators can turn an announced framework into commitments that both sides will carry out. The meetings are designed to address what follows a ceasefire, as well as how to sustain one. Civilian administration and rebuilding depend on security arrangements that both Israel and Palestinian authorities can accept. That is why the dispute over disarmament remains the central test. The wider Middle East remains a direct concern for the United States and global energy markets. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says Washington will announce further measures against Iran next week, describing the planned campaign as economic isolation on an unprecedented scale. He linked it to the continuing blockade of Iranian ports and the Strait of Hormuz. The conflict began with U.S. and Israeli strikes in late February and has continued through intermittent clashes after a June truce. Reports Friday of attacks on two United Arab Emirates tankers transiting Hormuz underscore the risk to commercial shipping. Iran's actions, the U.S. military posture, and any further restrictions on trade can quickly affect oil, shipping insurance, and prices paid by consumers far beyond the region. The Strait of Hormuz is especially important because it is a major route for energy shipments. When shipping there is threatened, the effect is not limited to the vessels involved. Traders, insurers, and freight companies must price in the risk of delay or disruption. Now to the economy and markets, because this is a Saturday edition. These are final closes from Friday, August 14th, the most recent completed U.S. trading session. They are not futures or intraday readings. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at 53,732.41, down 107.58 points, or 0.2%. The S&P 500 finished at 7,785.76, down 13.23 points, or 0.17%. The Nasdaq Composite closed at 26,729.16, down 73.86 points, or 0.28%. The immediate economic concern was consumer spending. The Census Bureau's advance estimate put July retail and food services sales at $763.6 billion. That was down 0.6% from June, but up 5% from July of last year. It is an early estimate and can be revised. Retail sales are a broad measure of money spent at stores, restaurants, and many online sellers. They do not capture every part of household spending, but they are closely watched because consumer activity is a large part of the economy. The year-over-year increase and the monthly decline describe different comparisons. A softer retail report does not by itself establish a downturn. It does, however, follow a period in which investors have been weighing high energy costs, inflation pressures, and the resilience of household spending. The University of Michigan's preliminary consumer sentiment reading also fell to 51 in August from 55.2 in July. For markets, Friday's modest decline reflected those concerns after a strong run in major indexes. The next tests will be corporate earnings, updated inflation data, and whether consumers keep spending as borrowing and everyday costs remain high. In sports, the NFL has suspended Atlanta Falcons linebacker James Pierce Jr. for 8 games following his arrest in a domestic dispute. The league's discipline is separate from the criminal process and is not a court finding of guilt. Pierce's case will be watched both for any legal developments and for the effect on Atlanta's defense as the regular season approaches. That distinction is important in any sports discipline case. The NFL can impose league penalties under its own policies, while criminal allegations are addressed separately through the courts. Neither process determines the other, and the legal case remains its own matter. On the field, the first full weekend of preseason football is underway. The Washington Commanders beat the Miami Dolphins 20-7, while the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defeated the New York Jets 24-16. Preseason results do not determine regular season standings, but they provide early evaluations for rookies, backup quarterbacks, and players competing for roster spots. Coaches also use this period to assess depth, special teams, and how quickly new players are adapting. The score is one part of that evaluation, while playing time and individual performance often matter more before final rosters are set. Baseball remains deep in its playoff race stretch. Chicago beat St. Louis 3-0 behind a 3-run Seiya Suzuki homer. The San Diego Padres beat Cleveland 7-5, and Houston outlasted Seattle 7-5 in 10 innings. Those games matter because August series can shape division and wild card margins long before the postseason bracket is set. Late summer games do not decide a postseason race by themselves, but they can change the margin for teams chasing a division title or a wild card place. That makes head-to-head series and extra inning results more consequential as the calendar moves toward September. Here's the concise results roundup. The Commanders over the Dolphins, 20-7. The Buccaneers over the Jets, 24-16. The Cubs shut out the Cardinals, 3-0. The Padres beat the Guardians, 7-5. And the Kansas City Royals edged the Los Angeles Angels, 7-6. Finally, in entertainment, a busy streaming week brings the final season of Outer Banks, a new classical album from Anthony Hopkins, Weezer's 20th album, and Anne Hathaway's Mother Mary. New releases also include the survival horror game, The Sinking City 2. The larger entertainment story is how broad the release calendar has become. Major film names, long-running TV franchises, veteran recording artists, and games now compete for attention in the same weekend on different platforms. For viewers, it means more choice. For studios and performers, it means the opening weekend is increasingly spread across theaters, subscription services, music platforms, and social conversation rather than one traditional box office measure. That wider calendar also means audiences can encounter a new TV season, album, film, and game at the same time. Attention is divided across formats, and success is increasingly measured through several release windows rather than a single opening number. That is the calm rundown for this Saturday. A federal guilty plea in the killing of Brian Thompson, new questions over vaccines and social media liability, major legal and infrastructure decisions, Gaza and Iran, and a softer signal from consumer spending. Please follow Artificially Intelligent News and share this briefing with one person who would value a calm morning news summary. I'm Mark Ellison. This has been Artificially Intelligent News.